Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. The R-Rated Podcast. This week's guest is...
Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. Today's guest is Chloe Berlinger, and she is a singer and actress. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm so good.
I really am. It's getting hotter. I'm in a black
turtleneck.
Lights are on.
Yeah.
I know, right? It gets hot. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute.
No, you're doing great.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
Thanks, Mom.
Where are you from? Let's start this off.
Where are you from?
I'm from Austin, Texas.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of did the opposite. Everybody, I think, moved. Yeah, they moved to Austin. That's like the hip part of town now. Yeah. And I just came to Los Angeles.
Why did you want to come here? What sparked that initial, like, I want to be in the industry? Was it like a movie or
a
certain someone?
I think a certain someone. I was thinking about this all day today. Like, what to say as an answer, and I think just because, you know, I figured it would come up, and I think it was, like, very much a spiritual experience. I think, I think a lot of actors kind of have this weird innate calling that no one can really pinpoint, but I was 6 years old when I found theater.
Yes.
Basically, I was a super lonely kid. Yep. I was an only child for, like, 10 years.
No siblings. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I do now. I have two siblings now.
Oh, okay, cool.
But they're 10 years younger than me.
Okay, so there's a little bit of an age gap.
A little age gap.
I get the age gap. I'm 16 years older than
Really?
My mom got remarried and she got remarried and had two more kids. So my sister's 10 and my brother is 9. So yeah, I'm 16 and 17 years older than my siblings.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I'm like, I get it. Like, it's
no
wonder I get it.
Have a reaction, because normally when I say 10 years, people are like, what?
And I was just like blank, like, okay, tell me something. I'm like, that's normal. No, I'm just kidding.
That's
it's not
crazy.
Normal, but like, it's also like, it's not like not unnormal nowadays, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think when you grow up with such a big age gap, you have a different relationship, you know, with your siblings. It feels a little bit more, I want to say maternal. I'm not their mom, but it's a little bit more maternal.
I do see my younger siblings more as, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm their mom, but, like, I already get, like, they kind of just see me as, like, oh, like, I look up to you. Like, you're my, you take care of me. Like, and then when we'd, like, go out and I was living at home, I would, like, carry my sister because she was a baby. And then, like, people would just automatically think, like, that was my kid. Like,
oh,
I was, like,
God.
I was a young mom. And I was, like, it would bother me so much. I'm, like, I don't want to hold her.
Oh, no.
It was just, like, a little phase, like, a little stage I went through. Because I was, like, I don't want people to think that she's my baby. But it doesn't even freaking matter, but, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, you don't want to, you're the sister.
I'm the sister. I'm, like, I'm the sister. And that's how it's going to be. Like,
absolutely.
Just please, yeah.
Totally.
But, okay, so... You found it through theater.
So I found it through theater. 6 years old. I basically was like, oh, I get to go with a bunch of kids and get stuck with them after school and also have an activity.
That's fun.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I think, like, the spiritual aspect of it is, like, the seriousness as which I took it. Like, even at that age. Like, I remember being six. We did a play, Annie Jr.,
Little Annie
Cute.
Jr. Okay, what was your role?
My role was maid number two. Very important.
Maid number two. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Not maid number one. Maid number two. Okay.
Love it.
And I said,
hey, you could have said, hey, I was maid number one, and I wouldn't have known.
You
the
know
difference.
What?
It was. I love it. You're
this
maid
is
number
honesty.
Two. Represent. Hell yeah. Okay. So tell me, how was that, like, first theater experience? Like, how was that stage presence? Like, was it cool seeing your parents in the audience? Like,
it was so, I don't remember too much, but I remember the distinct experience of being like, okay, I'm gonna be the most authentic actor I can be. I'm like, okay, as a maid, what is an authentic, you know, if I clean behind the furniture, that makes me like a real, I'm actually cleaning.
Yes.
So I remember there was like a Christmas tree on set and I thought, you know what, a real maid would clean behind the Christmas tree. So I cleaned behind the Christmas tree. My parents couldn't see me the entire play.
I thought I was, They're like trying to film me.
Yeah, there's like a film somewhere of just like them searching for me and I'm not there. And
oh, that's great. Oh, I love
so
that.
Fun. Yeah, so I remember being really, really into it at even a young age and just taking it super seriously. And then fortunately that like just carried on into my adulthood. And I was in high school and I was reading, you know, high school in Texas where it's like, it's not in Hollywood where everybody wants to be an actor, you know?
Right, yeah.
Or New York or Atlanta or whatever. And so I just took it at a very serious point. I was reading Uta Hagen and Stanislavski and all these theater theorists and and then I decided after I graduated high school that I was just gonna like take the plunge and move to
Los Angeles. Moved after high school. You were like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I was prepped. Oh, you want me to drop some bombs on your
podcast? Yes. So it's the R-rated podcast. Come on, let's hear it.
I was prepped to go to college. Yes. I was an academic student. Mm-hmm. Like, I cared a lot about my grades. And my dad's a college professor, so I was like, I really wanted to go.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You want to make your dad proud, right? You're like, you're a professor. Like, the academics make sense. Like, you want to do well. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to do well and be studious, whatever. Yeah. I want to impress dad.
Yeah, yeah.
and then, but when I was 18, I actually was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had.
How did you find out?
Total accident, actually. Really, really crazy. My dad has hypothyroidism.
Okay.
And anybody out there who has hypothyroidism, you should get checked no matter what age you are. Okay. But he had hypothyroidism, and my parents were like, hey, she's 18, like maybe she should go check to see if it's hereditary, so let's go see if she has it.
Right.
The doctor said she doesn't need to get checked. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was like, I kind of want to get checked anyway. So we checked.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you got some lumps. And then.
But no, you never, like, up until that day, like, you didn't feel anything, like, different. Like, you wouldn't have known if they didn't, like.
I had symptoms. I had a lot of symptoms that I didn't realize were symptoms. Like, for example, I was really lethargic to the point where I could not get out of bed. And my parents were like, you lazy sack of shit. Okay. Like, go to.
But maybe they thought it was like puberty or like, I don't know, like just being a teenager.
Exactly. Like, they were like, teenage.
So like, you're like, no, like something's wrong.
Yeah. So that, and I was losing hair, and I was really.
Your hair is so full and amazing right now. So I'm like, wow, like to hear that there was a point that you were actually losing your hair like that. Wow, what a transition, but also so scary that to experience something like that, like especially a disease and illness that we know can have a scary outcome. And like, it's not always like, you know, when you hear that, you're like, oh shit. So what were you going through at 18, like hearing that? Like,
Should I cuss? No, I don't know. I cuss so much in my daily life.
That was honestly probably the most honest answer. Just fuck, right? Like,
I don't know. This. it was weird. Okay, so first of all, it was a really treatable cancer. Mm-hmm. So that was the good news.
Okay.
The bad news is that I was at 18. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go to my second semester of high school. I didn't get to say goodbye to my friends. Wow. It postponed college for me. I was not well enough to go. And then it just really affected me emotionally in the way that like, oh, I'm 18 and my body is already killing me. That's basically what was going through my brain.
Yeah.
But in a weird, very messed up way, like it caused me, I think, to evaluate my own mortality at a really young age and really decide, like, okay, what do I want?
Yeah.
Really, really quickly.
Wow.
Because what happens if I'm 60 and this happens? You know, a lot of people get sick in their elder years, so, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But, so it made me decide what I want, and then it ultimately was, like, the reason why I moved to Los Angeles and was able to, instead of going to college and doing that route.
And what did your parents say? Like, were they worried about you being, like, you know, leaving the state, or were they, you know, supportive? Like, how was that?
Yeah, they were super – I think they were super supportive.
Okay, good.
They were super supportive, period. I was very fortunate enough to, like, receive – the reason I got involved in this crazy business is – I had a lot of encouragement, I think, from my peers and from my parents.
To, like, go for it. And, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was just, like, a really good support system behind my back to be able to do this. So they were like, you have to go. Of course, they were sad to see me leave.
Well, yeah.
But
it was the right decision. So now you're in L.A.
Yes.
And what was your first, like, what were you thinking? Like, how different was it than Texas?
Was it different than Texas? So I grew up in Austin. So it's kind of like.
Yeah, what is that like?
Austin's kind of cool and hip.
Okay.
So it's kind of eclectic. I say it's like the cool part of Texas. If okay. You know, if anyone's asking. Okay. So different from LA. I mean, I certainly wasn't used to the big city. Mm-hmm. When I first moved to LA, mm-hmm. I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with okay. 5 men.
Okay. Wait. I'm like, you're not going to just skip over that. Okay, tell me. How did you find, like, did you find this on Craigslist?
No, this was through my boyfriend. Okay. So my boyfriend lived at...
I was like, okay, good. Yeah. Sounds more safe.
I actually know several people who did that.
Actually. No, I know. I know it's a thing. Like, and it was a... I think it was probably more of a thing in the past because it was maybe... I don't know if it was more safe, but now I would not trust mm-hmm. to go on Craigslist to find a roommate. But there was a time where even when I was... looking for roommates, like, you know, back, like, 7 years ago, I looked on Craigslist. I was like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I got desperate at one point, and I was like, I need someone to, like, move in and, like, pay this other room, like, you know?
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do, but you also gotta be careful, because there's a lot of crazies out there.
You're right. I lived with many.
Actually, yeah, okay, let's hear it.
Everybody was really nice. Yeah. Okay, so my boyfriend, shared a twin-sized bed in a room. And then there was this other guy who lived on, like, another twin-sized bed. Okay. And he would wake up in the middle of the night screaming. He had really bad night terrors.
Oh.
Okay. So there was...
That would be a little scary.
So there was that.
Did you know that going into
no.
it?
No.
Oh, so it was, like, just a surprise one day? Like, bam! Like
surprise. I think somebody did tell me a few nights, like, when I had just moved.
Yeah.
And somebody warned me that it might happen, so I guess I was, like, a little prepared.
Wait, how do you get, like, hey, Johnny sometimes scares the shit out of us.
Girl, I was young, I was naive, no, but everything was a surprise.
Yeah, no, you know what, that's, you said it right there, key. I was young and I was naive. I feel like now looking back, when I, like, look back at, like, right after I graduated high school, or, like, the beginning of, like, college years, how, like, naive and stupid and just, like, how willing you're, like, you're like, yeah, sure, I'll sleep on the floor. I'll
yes.
do and now I'm like, I can't, like, my fucking back, my neck.
No. Yeah, it's like a willingness.
All, like, I'd rather go home now than, like, sleep over at a friend's house because I just want to sleep in my own bed. Like, it's sad. Like, I'm like, am I old? Like,
no, you're not. You're comfortable.
Back, like, when I, you know, when I was younger, I was like, I'll sleep on the floor. We can all share, whatever. Let's share a bed, like, whatever. Like, whatever works. Like, I'll bring a sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, I'll just go home. Like,
yeah, now you have comfortability.
Yes.
You're stable.
Once you're
now.
Comfortable, you're like, I'm not going back.
No, absolutely not. It's no. so hard to go back. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I have a little bit like a PTSD from those days just because of like it was so rough in right. it, you know?
Yeah.
So there was that guy. There yeah. was another guy that came in. He said he was a Satanist and he was like from Utah or North Carolina or something.
So your boyfriend didn't know these other guys. Like these were just.
No.
Okay, so you guys were just meeting these people from like other roommate.
We were the Craigslist guys.
You guys were like, okay.
We were the Craigslist guys.
They're like, these people might be crazy, but then you guys were like, no, they're crazy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We were the nice, like we were the one of the yeah, nice yeah, ones yeah. trying to get some normal people into our apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
And some crazy shit happened. Oh. So that we just had people in and out all the time. We had bed bugs and we were too poor at one
oh,
point.
Oh my God.
To get rid of it. It was horrible. Oh my God.
So how did you navigate all of that in your everyday life and then also trying to pursue, like, your career?
I think when you first move to LA and especially yeah. when you're so young, you're yes. just learning to live. You're just mm-hmm. learning to survive. So in terms yes. of, like, balancing what happened yeah. or balancing career and your mm-hmm. livelihood, there was no balance.
Okay. Was, you're like, I was just fucking living.
Yeah,
like,
I was just trying to survive.
Survive. You're like, actually, scratch that, survive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was
that's
just,
fair. That's fair. You know? Yeah, you know, when I think about it, I'm like, I just didn't have a choice. I just had to do it. You know,
yeah.
You're just thrown into it. And when you're thrown into something like that or like different situations, that's how you learn. So
yeah,
in the moment, you're probably like, fuck this. Why is this happening? This is the worst. Like, why me? But then later on, you're like, okay, like, you know, now I know not like what I don't want or what not to do or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, you live and you learn,
yes.
right? And when you move to a big city, you're just thrown into it.
Yeah.
So there was no balance. It was just learning to survive, jumping mm-hmm. from part-time job to part-time mm-hmm. job, meeting people. That
yes.
It was a really fun, creative time
okay.
because it was like you had to find ways mm-hmm. to stay creative
right.
while you're jumping.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you said your career started to really pop off for you in 2020.
Yeah.
What happened in 2020?
So I was auditioning a lot before then. I have an amazing manager. Her name is Dolores Cantu of Cantu Management.
Shout out.
She's been my manager for like the last 4 or 5 years. I was auditioning, but nothing was really catching on. Yeah. And then in 2020, I booked a couple of series of commercials. Mm-hmm. So that was really
good. Those are fun. What kind of commercials were they?
I was in a Nintendo commercial.
Oh.
That I booked prior to the pandemic, and then it got shut down. And I thought, oh my God.
Yeah, with the whole world, right? Everything got shut down.
With the whole world, I thought, oh my God, my life's over. Yes. And and then
I was there too. I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, you were there. It's too. Over. We were all there. It's over. Yeah, it was a time.
It was.
So it was that, and then they brought it back actually, and they were like, we're just gonna do it in quarantine. Do you have?
Oh, good. And they still reached out, and they were like, okay, great. Because sometimes if they like restart something, like I don't know, that maybe it's like a fresh start or whatever. So that's good that they
recast. Yeah, I totally threw it out of my brain. I was like, it's gone.
Great. That's awesome that they called you back. And what was the what were you doing in the commercial?
Oh, we were just. What was I doing? I was raving about Mario's anniversary.
Hell yeah.
But what's hilarious is that, so my boyfriend, he's like a really big Nintendo fan.
Yes.
And I don't really know that much about Nintendo.
Okay.
But,
okay.
So the audition was like super fan. And I was like, okay, I'll just go and I'll improvise and I'll be like, I love Mario.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. I think the line that got stuck in the commercial was like, oh, I love, they were talking about a video game where Mario wears a cat suit. And I've never played that game in my life. I don't
think I've played that one. No. I mean, I do like Mario, but I don't know all the there's so many little games from the Mario universe. Like there's Mario Party, Mario Kart, Yoshi, then there's Kirby. I'm like, okay, I haven't played all of those, so I'm sure there's a ton of games where
there's so many. Yes. There's hundreds.
Yes.
I didn't know anything. I knew
I didn't know anything
and they were like, oh, tell us what you think about this and this and this. I'm like, it's great.
Yeah,
love it. And that's it. That's basically all.
And
I
that's
did.
How you act.
And that's how you act. That's how you improvise.
Yeah. And that's why I got booked.
Exactly.
I love it. That's really cool. That is amazing. And was that one or two days? How fast? What did it look like? Do you get a call sheet? You're arriving at a decent time, or is it really early?
So that's the thing, is that because it was during quarantine, we filmed it in our apartment.
How did that work?
They brought all the gear to our apartment.
They just dropped it off in a box and you set it up?
Kind of. They dropped it off at our front door. They weren't even allowed to come into our apartment because of COVID.
Right.
So we had to be the camera operators.
Pay extra for that?
No.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm writing, I'm directing, I'm acting.
I know, I'm doing it all.
Gotta ship this back.
Gotta put this on my resume somewhere.
For real.
No, really. We did. But
once you really start to think about it, you're like, huh, maybe I should have asked.
Right. I know. It was weird times. People were just trying to get work to get done in the way that they could without getting sick. I mean, everyone was terrified.
Yeah. Too. No, I know.
It was really.
So you're doing it from home. You're setting. Did it almost feel like a self-tape? Kind of.
Yeah. It felt like a self-tape. And then the directors. Sorry, I keep bumping this. The directors even were on a Zoom camera, directing us.
Oh. Okay.
And then it was the hottest day of the year. We had to have our AC off. We had to rearrange our furniture. It was a lot. It was a really, really crazy way to be introduced to this is my first real acting.
And it's that's interesting.
Gig. Yeah. So that was
a learning experience.
A learning experience. A sweaty learning experience.
I actually saw one of your commercials when I was swiping through Instagram, and it was the Neiman Marcus one.
Ah.
I literally was, just scrolling, and then I was like, it was just so eye catching, and your energy and your attitude was so good. And I was wait a minute, I know her. I think I sent it to you. I don't know, but I definitely made a comment. I was like, I know her. So that was really cool. How was that different from your Nintendo commercial?
A million times crazy. I mean, so that was a fashion shoot, so it's a totally different industry too for doing a commercial.
Can we talk about that? Because I love fashion.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I was wearing the most expensive things that I've ever been around.
So did you get it tell them what your style was, or was it hey, we have these picked out for you, or was it a summer collection or a winter collection, what was the
it was
the
a
theme or vibe
they I think it was a collection. Mm-hmm. What collection it was, I'm not I'm not sure anymore. Yeah. But they basically said, we have these dresses, mm-hmm. like, let's try you on at a bunch of them. Fun. And then, yeah, it was
every
really
girl's
fun.
Dream, literally, like, oh, please, like, try on these outfits.
It was so like, yes. cool. I called my mom afterwards. I was like, I just wore Dolce & Gabbana. Like, yeah.
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I was going to really say, cool. like, did you have a favorite outfit or?
Yeah, there's this pink one. Yeah. I think it was a Dolce dress. Nice. There was a pink one that I really enjoyed. It was like kind of like a mini dress.
Love that.
It was so awesome. Everybody there was just so nice because I had to work with the Nintendo commercial was yeah. only people you were quarantining with. So this one is like I get to meet other actors.
It was like you were actually on set and you were around yeah, people. Okay.
Around people doing my thing. And we did a print shoot too at the same time. So
does that mean you're taking photos? Like for yeah. people who wouldn't know, like, all right, does that mean you're doing like, so was this targeted for TV commercials or for more social media stuff? Like, what was the goal?
So it was both. It was TV, it was social media, mm-hmm. and it was print. Cool. I have not seen the print work, so I have no idea if they actually used it, okay. if they're going to put it out later, or yeah. if it's and it's somewhere I've never seen, right. you know. They had one TV spot mm-hmm. with Stevie Nelson, who mm-hmm. she was like the Neiman Marcus girl.
Okay.
She was amazing. And then we did also social media stuff.
Cool.
So I was
cool.
just like trying on a bunch of different purses
yes.
and shoes
yes.
and stuff.
Yes, that's where I saw you.
Yay! Yay! Yeah, a lot of people from school and stuff like messaged yeah. me with photos and
that's
that was a really
cool
experience.
That's really cool.
Yeah, finally to have people
and that was also like
stuff.
A day shoot because these commercials are more, they're quicker, right? Like,
yeah, they're quick.
Yeah.
There was like, it was 2 days. So it was first day filming the commercial.
Got it.
And then second day was doing all the print work and doing all the photos.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun. And how do you feel like, how was your set experience there? Like, did you feel like, do you feel like everyone's getting treated well, like equally? Because, you know, there's a little bit of a hierarchy in on film sets, but like print and like,
yeah.
Like, how was that? Was that different or similar?
Was it different? No, you know, I've been really fortunate to work on really good sets
good.
So far. So let's keep the trend.
Yeah.
You know? It was really, really cool. Somebody did make the comment at one point about like fashion shoots can sometimes be tricky because mm-hmm. it's a lot of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying that this was like just like the most smooth, fun energy commercial that they had done in a long
that's
time.
Amazing.
So that was cool.
How fun.
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. And you recently said you also just finished working on something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll let you.
So I just booked a reoccurring guest star on the show Raven's Home, which is
with Raven Simone.
Yeah, with Raven
so
Simone.
Okay.
Yeah.
How? Wait. Okay. Did you prepare for this, or was it like your manager was like, hey, audition for this, and then you like went in somewhere, or is it still like over? Like, do you send in?
It was a tape. It was still a tape. So
okay.
I was gone for 3 months.
Right.
As you know, I was
yes.
I was in Texas for about 3 months
yes.
for my dad. My dad had a heart attack. So
oh my
God, he's alive.
Is he okay?
Yeah. He's good.
Thank God. Okay.
He had a less than 5% chance of living, and he like lived.
Oh
which,
my! Wow.
Yeah.
God bless. Amazing.
Yeah.
He is definitely someone looking after him as well up there. So that's
absolutely.
Amazing.
It was
wow.
crazy. So I was gone for a long time, just like being with my family.
Yeah.
And then I got home at 7 a.m. in Los Angeles. I took a flight. And then at 1 p.m. I had the audition.
And
it was that day.
But like in mental, like, because you're going through a lot of stuff right now mentally, right? Like, this is your dad. Like, how does that not, like, you know, obviously all these emotions are going to stay with you. And then you have this like big audition. How were you able to like separate that from, you know, your everyday
yeah,
life?
I thought, thank God I
yeah.
needed this because
mm-hmm.
it was hard being in Texas for such a long
yes.
time and being away from the potential of my career. Like
yeah.
what auditions am I missing on
right.
being here, you know?
Right.
So I really needed that. And of course it's mm-hmm. like a comedy, mm-hmm. which I think is
it's good
one of my
to
strong
laugh
suits.
And yeah. Yeah.
And laugh and yeah. just have a good time.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, I think it was pretty easy for me to like kind of throw it away in terms
that is
of...
so cool. Like okay, so what, like, who's your character? Like, are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah.
If there's anything you're not allowed to talk, just say I can't mention it. But yeah, like, who's your character? Like,
what can I talk about?
And what's the what's the show about? Like, is
yeah.
this a spinoff off of That's So Raven?
It is. It's like the reboot.
Okay.
It's like the reboot
yeah.
of That's So Raven.
Okay.
And she's older now. She has kids.
She has kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
she has kids.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen the show. So now I'm curious. I really want to see it. And especially because you're on it. I'm going to watch it.
Thanks.
No, yeah. of course. Got to support. Okay, so she has her own kids now.
Yes.
So she's like what, like in her mid-30s maybe?
Ooh, I don't know.
Okay. Whatever, she has kids. She has kids. How old are the kids? Like,
they're
it's
older.
It's such a trip because I'm like, I used to watch her and she was the one going through high school and stuff. And now I'm like, wait, she has kids? Like,
right? I know. I mean, that's a Raven. Yeah. It was one of the... yeah, exactly. I was watching, so the guy who plays her son, his name is Isaac.
Okay.
He plays the character Booker on Raven's Home. And I remember going to set being like, because he now also has psychic powers. And I was just like, I just want to watch him do the whole...
Yeah. Oh, I'm really so fun. Glad that they kept that in there, that it's like a genetic thing. It like got passed down into like the family kids, like the genes.
Can you imagine what a crazy thing to
that's fun. I feel like that's good. That's definitely good energy, and I feel like Raven Simone would just be fun to work with.
She is amazing. Yeah. I got a call. So the casting director Suzanne Goddard Smith. She called me before. Right, like kind of right after I booked the job. And she said, hey, I just want to run through the show. I want to talk to you about the table read and how it's all going to work. Make sure I'm prepped. And she said, when you see Raven work, she is like the modern I Love Lucy.
Okay.
And then watching her on set, literally just at the table read, she was so freaking funny. Oh, my
like
God.
Like just naturally funny.
Just
like
naturally.
Not even having to. I could see that. Like she just, like I could just like, I've watched a couple like interviews of her like on like talk shows, and she just like naturally always just had that vibe. Like she doesn't seem like she's trying. Like it just comes so effortless. I'm
and
like,
effortless. Yeah, she's been doing it forever too. You know, she's become such a. She's always been an amazing performer, and just like watching what all of that experience does and how she uses it, it was just like it was a treat to watch.
Wow.
Yeah, and she directed, so far I've been on 2 episodes.
Cool.
They released the first 5 episodes of the season. It's season 6.
Okay, and that's on?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. I have Disney Plus. Hell yeah.
Not to get too deep into the subject, because we were just talking about the WGA strike, but they were saying that, like, the average subscriber has only 2 accounts. Like, you only pay for about 2 accounts.
Because how could you afford like all 5 or 7? That's crazy. Yeah, like, it's absolutely crazy. And that's not the only thing you're paying for, you know. So it's like really an extra $100 just to have access to your shows or movies. Like I feel like it would just make more sense to have one platform that offers all of it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We've been saying that. I've been talking to some friends about that. It's just gonna go back to cable, the way that it used to be.
Yeah,
but just streaming on demand. And everybody's just going to have to be on one thing, and we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. You heard it here first. So how would you compare your days on Raven's Home, like, from the past stuff that you've worked on? I know, like you said, sets have been great. They've been treating you well. Like, how was, like, crafty? How was, like, your hours? Was it 12-hour days? Because this is a TV show, too, so it's a little different than when you do a movie.
It's true. I've worked on one other TV set. I did a co-star on the show Grown-ish, which also is Disney+. Plus.
Yes. Yeah.
And
was your character on Grown-ish?
I played a character named Tiffany.
Tiffany.
And she can't stop shitting with the door open. That's literally the character. So.
Wait, when you got called and be like, all right, we got a role for you.
Yeah.
What was your reaction? Like, you're like, you know, fuck it. Like, you have to be open because you can't judge your character. Right?
No, absolutely not. I'm open to it.
Some people don't like closing the door. It's fine.
Some people don't like closing the door, and she's all about it. She wants everyone to know her business, I guess. I don't know. No, it was really funny. And it's funny because there's like a theme a little bit with my auditions that have something to do with that. Mm-hmm. Like, not, I don't know why, but there's maybe that says something about me, dude.
Do you feel like you're getting typecasted?
No, not typecast, but a lot of auditions I've had have to do
wait a minute.
With like weird, I don't want to say, this is starting to get gross. It was like, but it has to do with like, there was another, okay, for example, on Raven's Home.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I can't talk about this, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, don't want to get you in trouble.
Damn. What?
We'll skip this part. So were you doing, like, 12-hour days, or were they shorter?
Yeah, they were long. My Grown-ish, I was in for, like, one scene. It was really small co-star. So very, very short day. I would probably say, like, 8 hours, maybe. You're in your trailer for, like, 90% of the time.
Right.
So in terms of, like, difference... I think just like the Ravens. Well, Raven's Home also was multicam, which is totally different than shooting like just with a single camera.
So you just gotta be ready at all angles. You're like, okay,
Yes, it's so, yeah, hi, oh my god.
Was that nerve-wracking for you? Like, was that scary?
Yeah, I was so terrified to go on the set of Raven's Home in the first place, and I was thinking to myself, like, right before, I was like, oh my god, what if there's a live studio audience? What am I gonna do? Yeah. It's just so much like theater, basically.
I think it would have been exactly like theater, right?
Yeah, it is.
And film at the same time, it's like a two-in-one, almost.
Yeah, exactly. I learned so much on that set, too, just... So I did theater for 90% of my life, but I haven't done it in a really long time, like probably 7 years.
Okay.
So being on set that was a lot like theater, I had to kind of like relearn some things. About, right. Like, oh my God, I can't turn my back.
And stage presence too.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time when I first moved to LA learning how to like act smaller.
Instead
of being big for stage. And my personality is pretty big, so that was always kind of a challenge. And
but I think that's fun. I think that's good energy. I think that's why you fit like that, like Raven's Home, so like that vibe too, because it reminds me of like the shows we used to watch when we were kids, like Wizards of Waverly Place, like Hannah Montana, like they just had fun, like energy, and you remind me of that. You fit that very well, and I think you can make people like feel good. So I think that's good casting.
Thank you, thank you so much. Yeah, it was definitely a good fit. I love comedies. Doing comedies is like my bread and butter. When I was getting into acting and I wanted to be like, I was like observing TV and film in a more serious way. Like Judd Apatow films were my bread and butter.
So now
like working in the industry and like kind of climbing the ladder, I'm like, the more I can be in comedies, like the more I feel at home.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So the whole industry is on pause, not really looking for anything at this point in solidarity with the WGA.
Yeah.
But before that, it's just like, it's working this job and then just trying to find something else. I was auditioning for a couple of feature films.
Oh, cool.
Comedies actually a drama comedy. A dramedy. So yeah, so some of those and, it's just like trying to, now I'm at a point of, in my career where I did a dive on Google the other day. I was like, okay. There's like 5% of actors in the world that make money doing this. So I'm, it's crazy.
That makes you, you're like, what? That makes you really think about things, right?
Yeah, is that not insane? And not, I feel so freaking lucky to like be able to make money doing this a little bit. Yeah. And now I'm like, okay, what do I do to continue it?
Right.
And
that's exactly the question. Like, when you book something, how do you keep it going, right? Like, you don't want to lose, like, if you're honest, you want to keep it, like, keep it going. But it's not that easy to just jump around to, like, the next big show,
no, right?
So it's like, how do you do it? Like, nobody tells you, like, okay, if you do this, you'll for sure, like, be a TV star, you know?
Yeah, it's true. You have to start building. I've been thinking about a lot of actors that I really admire and how they've built their lives and kind of, like, trying to emulate that. So I spoke about Judd Apatow a minute ago and... one of the things that he taught his crew of people, like Jason Segel and Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen, all those people.
I love those.
The icons. Yeah. He told them in the Freaks and Geeks era that they needed to write their own stuff if they wanted to continue in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Judd Apatow isn't telling me this directly, but who am I not to take that advice, you know? So I think right now it's like writing,
Give yourself opportunities. Like, don't wait for it, right?
You had a guy on your podcast that said that.
It did change my, like, perspective on a lot of things, because I've been waiting, kind of, I don't know if I've, like, been like waiting, but I have been like, okay, like maybe like things will get better. I guess I have been waiting. And I'm realizing like, no, I shouldn't wait around for anybody or anything. Like, I'm the only one holding myself back. Like, if I really want to see, like, you know, I want to see like my, like, advancing in my career, then I have to like keep writing. I have to not, like, you know, as soon as I hit writer's block, be like, oh, like, forget it, like, and be over. Because that's what's been happening. Like, I have an idea, I'll write it, and then I'm just kind of like, any little thing that kind of like comes in the way where I'm like, oh, I don't know what I want to write for this. And I just stop and I like don't really like go back to it. And that's so bad because I'm like, what am I doing?
It's
like,
normal though, too.
Right. But it's also a really bad habit. So I'm like, no, like you're like sitting here complaining about not having like, you know, getting directing gigs or not getting opportunities. But like you could also like write stuff for yourself and just, you know, make your double your chance of getting stuff out there. So here we are.
absolutely. And I found that, I released a song in 2022.
When did the singing come in?
The singing came in, I've been singing all my life.
Okay.
Because I was doing musical theater a lot. Mm-hmm. And, but I never thought I was good, to be honest.
What?
I thought I was kind of bad. I don't know. I grew up around a lot of really, really talented vocalists. Mm. Okay, so Austin, like, has a very intense theater scene. Mm. I don't know why. Mm. It's, like, a very strange town to have that, but they do.
Okay.
So I was around a lot of really talented musical theater kids, and I think I was just comparing myself to them a lot. And then on top of that, I don't know an instrument, so I had no way of doing it on my own unless I was going to learn an instrument, which it just is hard.
It's very hard. Yes. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so I partnered up with Jeff Kinsley, mm-hmm. Who produced the song cool. "How's the View?"
Yeah.
That I released under the stage name Dorinka, which is
I was going to ask you where did your stage name come from? Was this like a new persona or your alter ego or like what, like how did you, you know, who is this person?
Yeah, I definitely think it's funny. It started as an alter ego.
Yeah.
So the project itself began a little bit before the pandemic.
Okay.
But then during the pandemic is really when I got to sit with it and be like, okay, what do I want this to be? Mm-hmm. Who do I want this to be a character? Like, what does my music mean to me?
Yeah.
Also, I just need to put something out there because there's nothing going on in the film industry right now. During the pandemic, I kind of decided, okay, this is like an alter ego persona. Mm-hmm. This is like my edgy side. Mm-hmm. Now I think they've kind of blended into the same person. It's very meta, very weird.
Let's talk about it. Okay, so it's 2020, you said, when you released the song, right?
2021, I was working on it.
Okay.
And then I think I released it last year.
Okay.
So 2022.
Okay. So before writing the song, did you already have your stage name, like, all figured out? Was, like, or did it all come to life when you wrote this song?
I had my stage name figured out because Dorinka is my middle name.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Does it stand for something?
I have no idea what it means, but it's with my, I have a Greek side. So my family is I'm half Swiss and half Texan.
Cool.
So half of my family lives in Europe. And then
nice.
I found, yeah, it's really
I'm
cool.
Like, hey, that's cool. That's fun. I love
it's
that.
Nice.
Yeah,
it is
nice.
Like,
it's nice.
No, it's really cool and being able to visit. And I found out a couple of years ago that this middle name of mine is like a Greek name and I had no idea. And anyway, but it's always a name that if anybody was mad at me, they would call me Dorinka.
Dorinka.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool to like make it my edgy pop star.
Yes, it does sound very, it sounds very like Disney villain almost. Like cool, like Dorinka.
I like that.
Like cool, like in a very cool way, not like in a negative way.
I like Disney villain. That's pretty freaking cool. I know.
Have you ever seen Once Upon a Time, the show with all the like storybook characters?
Yes.
The evil queen in that, who's like, it's, I think Snow White's like the main character, or like one of the main characters, but the evil queen is like the main antagonist. And she's just like the most badass like villain I've ever seen. Like she made, I feel like she like opened the, like I was like, if I ever like, want to be like a Disney character, I'm gonna be a villain like for Halloween.
Yeah,
she made it so badass. I'm like, before I used to always want to be the princess because it was like cute and like the main character, but I was like, no, the villain.
The
like,
villain.
Okay, but okay, so you're like, I'm gonna choose Dorinka, and you built, like, how did you make your song? Like, how did that
I was heavily inspired. I think you, if anybody listens to it, they'll sense it, but it's heavily inspired by Billie Eilish.
Cool.
Because when she came out, I basically was like, oh, there's a market for pop songs that are not happy.
Yeah.
And like go lucky pop songs.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize that before. I grew up with like a lot of metal bands and like rap and music and hip-hop music in the back of my brain. I was like, none of this sounds like pop. So anyway, so when she hit the mainstream, I was like, okay, there's a market for this kind of music.
Right.
And then when it was written, I was working at a day job.
Okay.
I was working at a digital marketing day job. I was like a social media manager, and I was really, really unhappy. As many people are at their day jobs.
Yes.
And I was very, very underpaid for what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a song about it. And I wrote a song about people kind of like fucking over people who...
Yeah. So everyday life, like jobs, literally what we're all dealing with.
Exactly.
Why the industry striking right now? Like literally.
The whole world. Exactly. So I think the song was sort of timely, and now I realize.
So you wrote the lyrics yourself.
Yeah.
Nice. So you're a songwriter.
Ah! I guess so.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, you're writing your own song. And do you have, like, where did you record this? Like, how, like, did you rent
it? I recorded it in my friend Jeff Kinsley's recording studio.
Cool.
He's an amazing, very, very stupid, talented producer.
Nice.
That I had was fortunate enough to work with. Mm-hmm. So we recorded it in his studio. And then we actually have a few more songs that need to be released, too.
Oh, fun. There's more songs coming.
There's more songs coming. I love that. I have, like, a ballad that I wrote and that he produced as well that needs to be released.
Nice.
And, yeah, I'm a very much a perfectionist, and I have a digital marketing background, like I said a minute ago. Yeah. So I'm, like, trying to figure out how to perfect release that.
Where do you see, like, what direction do you want to go with it?
I think I want to do it for fun. That sounds kind of weird, but
no,
maybe not.
If it makes you happy, like why not?
It makes me happy.
And it makes you feel good. And music makes other people feel good too, and they can relate to you. And I actually listened to a snippet of your song before you came, and I was like, oh my god, like it's fucking true. Like everything that you said.
Yeah.
Like, yes. You can relate to all of that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it is. That song in particular is pretty relatable, especially with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And it really came from a super, super true place at the time. Because when I moved to LA, I knew this was an expensive town.
Yes.
And it's just getting more expensive. Yeah. And when you are somebody who moves to an industry, you don't have connections, you don't have a lot of money necessarily. Like,
yeah.
It's a hard town
to
survive.
It's a hard industry to survive in, yeah. Do you want to write more songs like that? Like more of current things that are happening or issues that are happening? Like current things.
I think so, yeah. I think definitely I write music around mental health, the concept of money, because it's just so prevalent right now. And mental health, money, and fame. Like just trying to make it out here, you know?
Yeah.
So I've written a lot of songs like that. I'm really, really excited to release them in the future. But in terms of, like, where I see it going, acting is my number one.
Okay.
Number uno. But music, I started it because I thought, well, I need to release, like, my own project. Which goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's like you kind of have to make your own opportunities.
Yeah.
And even though it wasn't related to acting in any way, it actually did help my acting career.
Right.
It just kind of, I think, solidified my artistic side and, like, putting something public and... Yeah.
And you made a music video?
I made a music video!
Was that your first music video for one of your songs?
It was my first music video. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And the people who worked on it with me are so good. I also had this thing that happened to me when I released my first song where I realized how absolutely terrifying it is to release your own thing.
It is.
It's the scariest. It's like one of the scariest things
I've
ever done.
I think it's scarier releasing it when you know, like, you also know the people in the audience that you're releasing it to, or like whenever I release an episode, I'm like, oh my god, like, and then like people will be like, oh, is this your podcast? And they like play it in front of me. I'm like, stop. They're like, is this you?
Oh,
like, because, like, you know, they're,
let's,
like, look it up
together.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not what I want. I'm like, if you love me or respect me, listen to it on your own time.
Oh my god,
because it's just like awkward. I'm like standing right there like, welcome back to the R-rated podcast, and I'm just like staring at them like right here.
Yes, it's so awkward.
I'm like, are we gonna continue our conversation?
we're gonna watch the podcast.
Was that
now.
My cue? Like,
I know, it's so weird. Yeah. And when I finished my song, I had that moment too where I was really excited to show some of my friends, and I'd be like, okay, let's listen. And I press play, and I realized this is really awkward. Like, I don't want to watch them listen to the song.
Well, you care about what they think, and like,
yeah.
Also, I mean, as long as like, I mean, you shouldn't care about, like, what people think, but also, like, they're your friends, and you want to, like, this is something you've been working on, like, this is, you know, showing your creative side.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that, like, you want their approval, but you want, like, for people to like it and, like, show you, like, hey, I'm on the right track, I'm doing something good here.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like a weird balance of, like, wanting people to like it, not needing their approval, but, like, you know, you want people to see it and, like, give you feedback.
Yeah. The only people's opinion I care about are the people I know.
Yeah.
And the friends that I have.
Yeah.
Also, because we all know such talented freaking people in our circle.
Yes.
So their opinion means everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less about, like, if somebody enjoys the song, that's all well and good. Like,
yeah.
I'm really thankful if somebody who doesn't even know me, like, listens.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, if my friend don't like it, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah. No, how do you handle that kind of stuff? Because, like, for example, if you record an audition tape or, like, a song, like, Are you sending it out to anybody for feedback before sending it into, like, the audition?
No.
Or you're just like, fuck it, I trust it, I'm going in.
I'm trusted, I'm going in. Cool. Acting is different in mm-hmm. the way that I'm actually less... I'm more secure in acting than I am in singing. So yeah. So there's that. But yeah. then...
More confidence.
There's more confidence. Yeah. And then also acting is so much of a throw it at the wind and say fuck it type of thing. Like you just have to throw your audition tape, hope for the best. Yeah. I don't think that anybody's critique is necessarily going to
change
it so much. Uh-huh. So I find it like a deeply personal experience to just submit a self-tape.
How do you deal with maybe not getting a response back from a person that you submitted or like a production you submitted to? Like, how does that sometimes, how do you avoid it like affecting the ego or like hurting your feelings, you know? Because like nobody wants to get rejected.
I know. It's a skill.
It is.
Yeah.
Can you share that skill
with us? Yeah.
I would like to know this skill.
It's a hard skill. Being rejected is for sure a skill.
Yeah.
And for a long time, especially when I wasn't working, mm-hmm. those like never getting anything back was freaking hard.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many times I've just sat in my bedroom crying because I was like, oh, I really nailed this tape and I didn't get anything back. And so many people, so many actors in particular go through that. So many people in general mm-hmm. go through that. If somebody doesn't respond to your email, it gets hurtful.
Yeah.
The thing that they say in the acting industry is like, you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
Which is, I hated hearing that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's nice. Yeah. Do you have anything else literally, for me?
It's like, okay. But it is true. Like, don't hold on to it. Like, it's just another audition. I know it's like, you don't, it's hard not to like, be like, but why not me? But honestly, like, all you need is one yes. All you need is one yes.
Yes.
All you need is one yes.
All you need is one yes. Every actor has 10 million self-tapes that they've submitted compared to the ones that they've booked. And that's okay. That's part of the process. Yeah. I think that's also what helped me. I was like, I'm going to get rejected.
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to love me for this part. And that's okay. The right one will come.
Yeah.
Get rejected. Don't be afraid of it. In fact, I think that's what stops a lot of people from pursuing this in the first place is just like the fear of rejection or releasing something. Yeah. Like it's just the fear of whether somebody's going to like it or not or whether you're going to succeed or not. And you just have to say fuck it and do it for yourself.
Okay. I was going to say, if there's any tips you could give on like, you know, what would you say to someone who wants to release a song that it's their first time releasing a song or a mixtape or... Like, just go for it.
Yeah, just go for it. Make yourself proud.
Yeah.
There's some
self-proud. I like that. Yeah.
There's some self-tapes that I've done that I'm like, damn, that was a really good self-tape. I didn't hear anything back.
That's going to stay in the archives. I like that.
It's going to stay in the archives. Yeah. And maybe I'll watch it 6 months from now and I'll think, damn,
you could literally combine all your auditions and make it, like, you know, make it like a little, like, let's say like 10-minute short film of like all the auditions that you've ever done. That could be cool.
Absolutely. My manager, Dolores, she's been working in the industry for like over 50 years. Mm-hmm. So she has all of these photos from the time when she was acting as well and doing things. And she's like an archive. And that's really taught me that like, oh, I have to save everything that I do.
Yeah.
So I do. I have like a little folder with all the self-tapes that I've ever done.
Super cute. I love that. No, you need to. Yeah. Document the journey.
You have to celebrate.
My last question. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Ooh, I see myself on the billboards.
Yeah, you didn't even have to think about that. You
were screen.
She's thought about this before.
I see myself, I believe heavily in manifestation.
Yeah.
And I see myself being in TV. And I see myself working. I see myself as a working actress. Totally. I don't know to what degree that means, but I want to make my career in this and make money doing this. Mm-hmm. And I'm damn resourceful, so I'll figure it out.
You're already doing it. You're already doing it. Thank you. Give yourself some credit. Thank you. Definitely. That's for sure. It's already happening, so it's definitely gonna happen because you're already on the right track.
Thank you.
It's going to be super exciting to watch the journey, and I'm excited to watch you on Disney Plus.
Yay!
If there's any social media or, you know, where we can find your music or any stuff.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at Chloe Berlinger. That's where I post some of my stuff, just my life. Yeah. And then if you want to follow me on Spotify, my name is just Darinka, D-A-R-I-N-K-A.
Nice. All right. Give her a listen, and I will see you guys next week.
Thank you.